Hello, you're very welcome to Filling the Sink, a podcast from Catalan News. I'm Lorcan Doherty, and today we're talking about 2021. Happy New Year to all Filling the Sink listeners. Feliz 2021. And we are hoping it is more feliz than the last one. Never before, I think, have so many been so happy to see the back of the old year. Well, now we're welcoming in the new one and looking ahead at what might be in store, what the big stories might be, things to look out for in 2021. Joining me to gaze into the crystal ball, I'm glad to say we have Christina Tomás-White and Guifré Jordan. Guifré, in true 2020 style, is joining us from home. And confession time, actually, we're recording this in the final throes of 2020. As much as we love doing it, we didn't fancy going to work over New Year's. So hopefully World War III hasn't broken out in the last 2 weeks or so, although it wouldn't surprise me given the year that's been in it. So, Guifré, what's coming up in 2021? What do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, well, I think we will try to fix in Catalonia 2020. We will try to fix 2020 so we can expect the whole vaccine rollout. So trying to vaccinate 7.5 million people, that's going to be a challenge for the country as a society. Also to still deal with outbreaks, so this is not over yet. And one of the main political highlights of the year will be the Catalan election to be held on February 14, and which will for sure mark the whole year.
Well, we're all hoping that this year isn't dominated by COVID to quite the same extent as 2020, but it was undoubtedly a historic year. Let's take a look back on it, including some of the non-coronavirus stories that you may have forgotten.
Even before the pandemic hit, 2020 was already off to a rough start. In fact, for Lorcan's first few weeks on the job last January, we had a power plant explosion in Tarragona, followed in short succession by one of the worst storms to hit Catalonia and other parts of Spain in recent times. Here in Catalonia, where a handful of people lost their lives, Storm Gloria caused extensive damage over 5 days, mainly to cities and towns along the Mediterranean coast, which authorities estimated would cost tens of millions of euros to repair. Southern Catalonia, which scientists agree is especially vulnerable to climate change due to its low elevation, coupled with the fact that the Mediterranean is warming at a rate 20% faster than the world average, was particularly hard hit. Home to the Ebro River Delta rice paddies, thousands of hectares were swamped by seawater, putting the area's unique flora and fauna at risk. But little did we know, things would soon take a turn for the worse. Although the news that someone residing in Catalonia had tested positive for coronavirus first broke on February 25th, just under 2 weeks after the Mobile World Congress was cancelled, it took authorities and society as a whole another few weeks to fully grasp the severity of the situation. Igualada, where cases first spiked, was placed on lockdown on March 12th, and only days later would the rest of Catalonia be under strict home confinement orders too, as Spanish President Pedro Sánchez invoked a state of alarm. Residents were under lockdown for almost 2 months before regulations began to be eased. It's probably impossible to understate the impact the public health crisis has had on all of us this year. The level of human loss alone is staggering. 9 months later, Catalonia's death toll stands at over 16,000, according to funeral homes, with over 350,000 confirmed COVID cases. Many of those affected were care home residents, who some complained were forgotten and left behind by authorities. Furthermore, lockdown and other restrictions needed to keep the pandemic in check dealt a severe blow to the economy. With businesses shutting down and unemployment and furloughs ballooning, authorities have struggled to keep up with welfare benefits and other measures to relieve the country's increased financial distress. A number of social consequences have been felt amidst stresses of the global health crisis and a faltering economy. As people spent almost 2 months under strict lockdown, reports of mental health issues and gender-based violence went up, while elective surgeries and routine health checks that healthcare workers rely on to detect a number of other illnesses were either postponed or cancelled. But beyond that, as a whole, we've created a new sense of what is normal. Early this year, it wouldn't have crossed our minds to think that our reality was about to be so severely disrupted, but months later, we've completely normalized daily death and case counts, wearing a face mask whenever we go out, and restrictions limiting gatherings, movement, and businesses. Catalonia has also been on a rocky political road this year, which culminated in President Quim Torra being barred from public office by Spain's Supreme Court for disobedience relating to hanging yellow ribbons in solidarity with jailed independence leaders from public buildings during an electoral period, and Parliament Speaker Roger Torrent calling an early election after months of ongoing disagreements between the pro-independence coalition partners Junts per Cat and Esquerra Republicana. Meanwhile, the conflict regarding Catalan independence, including the fate of the jailed and exiled referendum organizers, remains at a standstill despite an unprecedented meeting between the Spanish and Catalan cabinets last February in what was intended to be a first in a series of talks that was cut short due to the pandemic. Unsurprisingly, the health crisis itself has been another important source of contention between both executives, with disagreements surrounding measures and the authority to implement them.
Well, that was 2020. Thanks, Christina, for that. Let's be honest, not a year that many will look back on fondly. It's been tough for families, for health services and care workers. But we have a light at the end of the tunnel. If 2020 was the year of the pandemic, 2021 could be the year of the vaccine. What do we know about the plans for a vaccine rollout in Catalonia?
So, well, the whole vaccination scheme has three phases. The first one, prioritizing the health workers, residents in care homes, and people who need assistance in their day-to-day activities. So that's the first phase on until end of March, and then there would be a second phase and then a third one, so that all people in Catalonia have been able to have the vaccine by the end of the year. Of course, it's not compulsory here, and the Catalan government expects that at least they are able to convince 70% of Catalans to be given this jab. So that would mean that in autumn there would be like immunity in the whole territory. That's what authorities think.
Well, yeah, I think it's something that we're all looking forward to, and hopefully that would mean that socially things would start to be able to open up a little bit, and the economy, which obviously was completely destroyed in 2020, can start to recover a little bit. But it'll be a slow process, won't it, Christina?
Hopefully little by little we'll be able to ease restrictions and have perhaps, you know, bigger cultural events as more and more people become immune to the virus. We'll be able to enjoy all the things that we so dearly miss.
One of the big events last year that kind of heralded the start of things really changing here in Catalonia was the cancellation of the Mobile World Congress, and they've penciled in that for June this year. So that'll be one to keep an eye on, I suppose, to see whether that can go ahead in some kind of circumstances.
And it'll be interesting because, you know, so many people tend to come in from other parts of the world, you know, whether it's Asia or North America or other parts of Europe. And if they're coming from areas where they haven't been able to achieve sufficient immunity, or if we haven't been able to do it, it'll just be interesting to see how this plays out.
Mm-hmm. And holding events like this can help the local economy as well as tourism. For instance, Catalonia's GDP in 2020 was expected to drop by 13% in 2020. So this is expected to surge again by 7% this year, according to Barcelona's Chamber of Commerce. But of course, the situation has to more or less go back to normal, because otherwise it's going to be very difficult. And as well as that, we also need to take into account the public debt, which is, after some years, slightly decreasing. After the 2008 crisis, it surged a lot. Then it steadily decreased a little bit. And now it has gone up again. And the public debt in Catalonia is 35%. So this is something to take into account as well. As well as covering also the basic services for everyone and helping the ones more badly affected by the economic and social side of this pandemic.
Okay, let's talk politics then. Big event happening on the 14th of February, Catalan elections. I'm quite excited. It's my first Catalan elections. You know, I'm a bit of an election geek. How does it work here? Or do we stay up all night looking at, well, you know, the results come in quickly? What's in store?
Well, the counting is pretty quick in Catalonia. You might be a little bit disappointed because it's not like in other countries where you have to wait until 5 a.m. So by 10 p.m. we expect to more or less know the political scenario of the coming 4 years. So the election is to be held on the 14th of February. The first thing will be to see whether it can go ahead because of the virus, of course, and whether unprecedentedly it will have to be held over more than a single day. This has never happened, and it might happen. And of course, the main issue afterwards will be the outcomes. I'd say the main things to look out for is whether the pro-independence parties will repeat their majority in the chamber and complete like a decade of majorities in this chamber. This is quite clear according to the polls, but of course everything could change. The right. Socialists,
And it seems like the most recent Catalan public poll placed Esquerra Republicana first and Junts per Catalunya second. However, the most recent Spanish public poll had Junts per Catalunya coming in fifth place. So will they be able to secure the majority like they did before? That's kind of the question.
Yeah, at the moment, this pro-independence majority in the chamber has resulted in a government between Junts per Catalunya and Esquerra. Junts per Catalunya came ahead of Esquerra in the 2017 election. So this could change, according to the polls, as Cristina has just said. And in this case, we would see whether these two parties continue their alliance because it's been pretty troublesome in the past few years.
Yeah, no, but it'll be interesting to see if they're able to form a coalition because they don't seem to be getting along. There have been a lot of very public disagreements between cabinet members, like members of the same cabinet that just don't seem to get along. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye out on that. I think another also important thing to consider for this upcoming election is that the far right is expected to enter parliament for the first time in Catalonia. So they're in the Spanish Congress and in many other regional assemblies or parliaments.
This is Vox.
Vox. But they haven't yet made it into the mainstream Catalan politics.
And the biggest party last time around was Ciutadans, the Citizens Party. How do we expect them to get on?
Yeah, it is expected that their result is much lower than 3 years ago. And it seems that a large amount of votes of Ciutadans will shift to the Socialists, also a unionist party, but more prone to dialogue with the pro-independence camp. So maybe Catalans in both sides of this independence issue might shift to parties prioritizing this dialogue between Catalonia and Spain, which are Esquerra and the Socialists. Another interesting figure to take into account will be the amount of total votes achieved by the independence camp. So they never reached 50% of the ballots, although they are always, in the past few years, they always got the majority in the chamber. But this time, some polls say that this might be possible, and maybe this could change their narrative a little bit, because it's not the same defending this project with 47% of the votes than with 51 or 52. So they might say that now it is proved that the majority of Catalans want independence, but we will see.
Well, listen, we're going to do a few episodes, I'm sure, about the election, a few episodes of Filling the Sink. We'll be talking about the election so we can get into all the campaign issues and stuff then. But definitely want to keep an eye on, and it will really shape politically, obviously, how the rest of the year pans out, including issues such as the dialogue between Catalonia and Spanish cabinets. And we've also got the issue of the jailed and exiled pro-independence leaders that organised the referendum. Are we expecting any developments on that this year?
Yeah, well, that depends on the future Catalan government, whether they want to try again a new round of talks with Spain. One attempt was occurred just before COVID-19, but this was interrupted, so this might resume depending on the result. And as for the situation of the jailed leaders, the Spanish government is the one who could shorten the sentences of these nine politicians and activists if they accepted a pardon or if they reformed the criminal code, specifically the article on this sedition crime. And as for the exiled leaders, well, they've still got pending their extradition process, some of them, such as Carles Puigdemont. And in 2021, this might unfold as well. And we might be able to know once and for all the result of this extradition process.
Okay, well, that's nearly all we've got time for today on Filling the Sink. We just need to obviously get our Catalan phrase, which this week is what, Christina?
I know Vida Nova.
I know Vida Nova, which is...
New Year, New Life.
New Year, New Life. Well, I like it. It's a nice positive one, isn't it?
Yeah, we're full of hope. I mean, it can't be as bad as 2020, so...
That's the hope. It's a bit like New Year, New You.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah.
Nice one for the Instagram. I know Vida Nova.
Yeah, be sure to hashtag that, Lorcan.
And that is us for our first podcast of the new year. First of many, as they say in Catalan, de mica en mica, sempre la pica, little by little the sink fills up. Thanks, Christina and Guifre, for joining me today. And thanks, as always, to you for tuning in. We'll be back next week. Until then, from me, Lorcan Doherty, and all of us here at Catalan News, bye for now, and Happy New Year. Feliz año a todos.